feel under a lot of pressure because I've gotten a lot of questions about Snapchat already. And this presentation actually is not about Snapchat, or rather how to do marketing on Snapchat. It's about how Snapchat is changing how we should do marketing everywhere. Snapchat or Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or Periscope. What else have I missed there? Musical.ly, which is the new teen favorite social network. I will touch upon what's cool and what's working on Snapchat, but I want us to walk away with about 5 things that you should do, that you should adopt from what we're learning on Snapchat to your other marketing. And I forgot I got this. Everybody thinks that Snapchat is for young people. A lot of my friends use it, and I don't necessarily think this is that funny. I'm sorry for those of you over there if you can't see it. It's not that funny, but the comments are amazing. And it really shows us what a wide appeal Snapchat has. There's a comment here that says, shit, I'm 29 and I'm curmudgeon AF when it comes to Snapchat. And then somebody who said that he thinks it was pointless, but the fact that it deletes pictures after you post them lowers the pressure because there's no history there that years from now somebody is going to happen upon. And when I talk to people about Snapchat, I get so many different answers as to why you love it. I just did 2 quick periscopes, and I got different views on why Snapchat is fun. For me, it's fun because I can get pictures from my friends' kids, or videos of my friends' kids, and I don't have to save them on my phone, so that's awesome. I'm very practical. But I also love the doodles and the filters and all of that. But one of the common questions I get is, should I be on Snapchat? And I'm going to answer it right now. I don't know. It depends on your audiences. Our clients challenge us constantly to create new things, to be in new places. And a lot of times, what we actually need to do is do better where we're at. And some of the tips we're going to go through today will help you do better on other social networks. And of course, will apply to Snapchat as well. Because these young social networks came about because of 2 reasons. One, technology advanced, so it's a lot easier to take pictures and videos and upload them really fast and play with them and edit them and all that. But also, they found gaps, they found shortcomings in the existing social networks. Facebook got so busy, and it's intrusive, and people started fearing privacy, and there's a sense of lack of intimacy, particularly on Facebook. And Twitter was always this big, wide, open space. When you open the app, the Facebook app, and I'm just going to refer to apps because 70 to 80% of people consume media through their apps. When you open the app, you get 14 icons on that little screen with Facebook and 15 possible actions. So what the young social networks have done is they've simplified things. They went minimalist. So you open Snapchat, there's only a few icons, and most of what you do, right, is using your finger to swipe, tap, hold, and so on. It makes it a lot simpler. It's not as overwhelming, but it does create that sense of intimacy. It's my space. I'm not walking into the social network with the whole world shouting at me and people repeating the same content 10-100 times. So that's one of the biggest appeals of the new social networks. And you will see, if we look at data, Facebook actually is losing users. And somebody asked me on Twitter if people are moving from Facebook to Snapchat or if people are deleting their Facebook accounts for Snapchat. The statistics I've read say that teenagers delete their Facebook accounts, leave Facebook at a rate of about 1 million a year. And if you think that Snapchat has about 100 million users, that's a significant chunk that Facebook is losing to Snapchat. I'd also notice that the fastest growing social networks, Snapchat's not included in here, and there's a reason for that. It's very hard to get data on Snapchat. They're not really releasing much information, so a lot of what we read is estimates. But Pinterest is the fastest growing, Tumblr, and then Instagram. I also read just today, I got an email from somebody who showed me some statistics about how Facebook is also losing engagement. People are sharing content less. And it makes sense to me. I don't know if it makes sense to you, but I'm so overwhelmed when I go on Facebook. I have instant memory loss. I go there to look at a client account, and an hour later, I'm like, why am I here? And why did I watch all these cat videos? And so Snapchat is growing incredibly fast. For all of those out there who think it's a fad, the numbers are significant. This is from The Street. Eric Jackson wrote an article, and they published numbers, if you want to Google it, that shows that it is the fastest growing social network in history and in a isolated period of time. And although Snapchat is small, its audience is incredibly engaged. So let's look at the numbers again. On Facebook, we have about 1.5 billion active users a month. On Snapchat, we have about 100 million active users a day, and the two networks report their data differently. And there's a reason for that. That short life of the content on Snapchat makes it so that when we look at data, we look at it on a daily basis. So 100 million active users a day, 6 billion views, video views a day. Compare that to 8 billion views a day on Facebook, and you can see how much more engaged Snapchat users are. And Facebook and Instagram and other older social networks are catching on. Like, oh my God, what is going on? We're losing users. Recently, Instagram launched its Coachella video channel. Well, Snapchat did that a year ago. Facebook just updated its Facebook Live features to add doodles and filters. Well, Snapchat's been doing that for more than a year. Right, so we're seeing a lot of the features that Snapchat introduced being copied on the other social networks. And why is that? Anybody have a guess? Why is Snapchat so sticky? Well, we're going to talk about that. Yeah, Jessica said the largest generation in the history of the world is using Snapchat. And they grew up with mobile devices. There's those advantages that I mentioned earlier. It's intimate. It feels private. I'm in control when I go to Snapchat. So the way these tools were designed are changing how we interact digitally. We're looking for more meaningful interactions because we have the option to do so on Snapchat. Although it started with sexting and all that, but anyway, we evolve. I'm not sure that I fully agree with this statement, but when we look at the selfie movement, it's very clear how these apps, how these tools, how these ways of communication are changing how we behave to the point where we've turned selfies into a science. There's a science to how to take a selfie. There's a formula to it, and it works. Give it a try. It has to be like sort of higher up. You're doing it well. That's like the selfie position right there. Higher up, a little bit of a tilt. So these tools are changing how we behave, and they're changing how our audiences expect that we communicate with them. And that's what I want to talk about today. Let's look at five ways to communicate with our target audiences that is more meaningful to them, that is more in line with what they're expecting now that they're immersed in this Snapchat way of interacting with people. Visuals first, everybody talks about this. And it drives me crazy because everybody says, you need more images. So now we're flooded with images, and a lot of them just suck. So let's talk about how we can put out there better visuals. Okay, so the first rule is, can your audience see themselves in what you're sharing? Does it speak to them? Then does it strike an emotional chord? For a while, those shelfies were popular, hashtag shelfie images, Instagram-style images taken perpendicularly, some above down, like a table with objects and fruit and whatnot on them. Those were very popular. Data shows us that those are not doing that well. There were a number of studies done. There was a study done by the Georgia Institute of Technology with Yahoo Labs that show that images that have people's faces do 3 times better get 3 times more likes than images without people in them. So feature people, but also use images from people. Some other speakers have talked about using crowdsourced content, collecting images from your audiences. So start doing that. There's better ways to do it. I'll show you one of those ways a little bit later in a quick case study. Then use striking colors. We have so many filters on these tools like Instagram and so on. It's very tempting to mute your images with a muted filter. Again, studies show that the more colorful the image, the better it performs. And then pay attention to trends. This is a really important one. You can go to Getty Trends or Google Getty Trends, and they publish reports on what's trending and what's up and coming. This outsider in trend, for example, that we're featuring here is very, very popular. And it has to do with breaking with tradition. Online audiences are very daring, and they're daring you to be daring with them. And it's very easy for us to just do stock photography or take just any image and throw it out there. If you want to stand out, you need to have an angle. You need to break with the rules of photography. You need to show people in real ways. Grittiness is another trend. Sweat, dirt, image that's a little granulated. All of those do very well right now. And this is a very difficult one, especially for those of you who work in regulated industries or in B2B. How do you come up with, how do you break the mold? And that's why it's important to stop and think and create a visual strategy for your brands. What a lot of us don't do is I was talking to somebody this morning. He called me and he said, I'm running Facebook ads and I put this ad out there and I'm not getting anything. And I said, hold on, let's take a step back. You have 50 followers on Facebook. So let's talk about your strategy. What are you trying to accomplish here? And he kept going back to the tactic, that he kept going back to the social network. Stop doing that. It's no longer about social networks. I'll show you a quote later from a teen who said, Facebook is not real. It's just a social network. The younger generation doesn't see social media as social networks. They see these tools as ways of communicating. So you gotta stop, take a step back, and really think, how can you communicate meaningfully with your audiences? And then plug that communication into the social networks. Another great tool is Canva. It's a web-based image editor. It has tons of preset templates with the right sizes for all the different social networks. And you'll see trends in there. They try to keep up with the trends, so they'll have templates for quote images. They'll have a lot of this modern, gritty imagery. Fairly cheap images to buy, but they also have a great blog where you can read a lot about trends and how to make your visuals more powerful. Principle number 2, we gotta break through the noise. I mentioned earlier, there's just too much going on Facebook. People are tuning out. So what do we do? How do we create content that isn't intrusive, that is meaningful? So again, we have to stop and do some planning. Use some tools like BuzzSumo or Qordtool.io to find out what's trending, what people are into, what people are searching for. I love Qordtool.io because there's a feature in there that shows you questions that people are Googling or questions that people are putting in YouTube. And I was very surprised. I did a social media one the other day, and I was very surprised with some of the things that people are asking that I'd never considered. So you'll get great ideas in there. Again, more video, more visual trends are shutterstock.com/trends. Another great place to look for ideas. Another way to break through this noise is to put people first. There was a study that was done where they compared Adidas and Nike's work on Instagram. Nike had about 60% of their content being lifestyle images, as opposed to brand, product, or calls to action. Adidas only had 30% of their content being lifestyle, so they were a bit more promotional. Nike saw 8 times more interaction on social media than Adidas. Also, the stat that I said earlier about Instagram faces, the study showed that you get 38% more likes on those pictures that have faces than the ones that don't. Intimacy. This is, I think, I keep talking about this, one of the key components of Snapchat and the younger social networks. Hard to replicate outside of there. But there are ways. You can show a lot of behind-the-scenes content. A lot of brands do this. You can try to dare to be vulnerable and write about things that others don't dare writing about. We have a client who decided that he was very cool with writing about halal meat in a period where there was a lot of anger toward Muslims. And he said, this is my opportunity to speak about how great it has been for me to do business in the Middle East and how I became a halal specialist. And he put that out there in a LinkedIn post, and it just went viral. Okay, so he dared say something that nobody wanted to touch. And then have conversations with people. From the beginning, social media was about conversations. I remember the early days of Twitter. It was just chatting back and forth. And then something happened. We all decided that we want to make a buck off of it. And we flooded the stream with marketing messages. So let's go back to having conversations. Here's an example of behind-the-scenes look. Incredible stats here. Chipotle showing how they make their avocado guacamole. 11,000 likes on this picture alone. They have a lot of videos that show how they make their foods. And it's very much in line with their brand of transparency and care for the products that go into what they're making. Conversations. This is Taco Bell when the taco emoji was launched. They built an engine where if you tweeted at them with a taco emoji and another emoji, they would tweet back a combination of emojis or GIFs or other videos. They had 600 of these combinations in their pipeline. And people went crazy with this. Now, we may not be able to do something at this level, but I already know that there's a lot of brands who don't respond to their consumers online at all, who don't have conversations at all, just use Twitter just to post. Stop thinking about posting. Start thinking about conversations. The rule is 80-20, 80% conversation, 20% posts. Choice and control. This is what we all want in life. We want these in our jobs. We definitely want this on social media. On Snapchat, you have so much control, right? You can choose to send pictures, videos to just your friends. You can publish them to your feeds, to your story, or you can take videos. We've done this. We do some marathon coverage. So I was at the New York Marathon, and we were shooting videos at the finish line and saving them. So we were shooting them on Snapchat, saving them, not publishing them necessarily on Snapchat, saving them, and then putting them on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, because that 10-second limit was very useful to us. We didn't have to think, how long should I make this video to then edit it and put it on all these other social networks? We just used Snapchat because it limited us to 10 seconds, which was perfect, and then that worked on all the other social networks. So that's another way to use Snapchat, is to create video content for your other social networks without having to do a ton of editing. So choice and control. Crowdsourcing content, we talked about this. Somebody in an earlier session asked a question about and said that they only got about 100 people to contribute pictures to this campaign that they were doing. And one trick to getting content from your audiences is to actually give them a very specific thing to do. Don't just say, send us a picture with your product. Okay, do something like this, where Tom said, submit a picture with the hashtag without shoes, a picture of you without shoes with the hashtag without shoes. So for the month of May last year, They ran this campaign. They got an insane amount of submissions to today, and then that trend continued. So it didn't stop at the end of May. People kept doing it. And now there's about 308,000 images on Instagram with this hashtag. Toms has literally created an image database of significant size for themselves. For the rest of the life of Toms, they may not need to look for images because they got so many through this campaign. But again, it has to be something specific, and it has to resonate with who your audience is. Another one I saw that was pretty cool is show yourself doing a random act of kindness. A great one that I saw in the logistics industry that worked really, really well was calling out to truckers, to truck drivers, to show a picture of their coffee mug, because they're all in their trucks drinking coffee all the time. And that went really, really well. So no matter what industry you are, you can get people to submit content to you and should take advantage of it. Another one is influencer takeover. This came out of the fact that on these social networks, you can't reshare content. So your audience's influencers may not reshare your content, right? Because it's not possible. And if you give them the product, then it looks staged when they're sharing pictures with product in hand. So how can we get influencers involved? A way to do it is to give them the reins. So invite them to do a day in the life of your brand from their perspective. In this case, Cinnabon invited two influencers. They even had the CEO there doing cool stuff. They had fun, asked people to submit pictures. They gained about 2,000 followers on Snapchat that day. Now, this is my favorite way of doing takeovers. This is from the International Center of Photography. They gave their account, their Instagram account, to their resident artists. And it ended up being this beautiful tour guide given by the resident artists to this gallery. And you got to see all this extension of the content that you would see in the gallery on Instagram. And all of their fans followed them over here. This account saw a growth of 1,300% in followers by doing this. Their average likes per post went from about 60 to over 325. And they reported significant increase in traffic to their website. So consider doing takeovers. I've seen them on Facebook as well. They don't work as well because Facebook's so clunky, but. And the last point I want to make, be real. We talk about this a lot. We don't actually do it. We still super edit everything that we do. This is a quote I was telling you earlier. If you want to read the full article, it's Fast Company, written by Ryan Bradley. And he interviews a ton of teenagers, and it was so eye-opening to me as to why they're switching over to Snapchat. They don't think Facebook is a real thing because they can't have meaningful conversations anymore. So use real-time content. We played with Periscope. Everybody wants to know about Periscope and all of these. My favorite for short content has become Snapchat. I shoot the video there, and then, as I said, I can post it everywhere else without having to worry about editing it. You can do Periscope. Periscope is really fun. Facebook Live is a little interesting. People are responding negatively to it at this point. And the New York Times called the videos annoying and intrusive. So you have to be careful with Facebook Live because it sends all those notifications. And again, people want to choose to watch the content. They don't want to be force-fed content. And then avoid formulaic responses. I still see these. Thank you for your comment. Go to this link or call our number or be a real person. Here's an example from JetBlue. A customer's screen was broken, and they responded, oh, no, that's not what we like to hear. Are all the other TVs out? They were troubleshooting it. And then they say, I hate it when that happens. Send us a DM. We'll send you a gift card or whatever. Very real language. 70% of people say, a study showed that 70%, I think Sprout Social did the study, 70% of people who reach out to a brand on social media expect that brand to respond. and 50% of them expect the brand to respond within an hour. And if it's a negative comment, 70% or 72% of people expect that you respond within the hour. So it's very important to listen and respond. And I hear a million excuses as why this isn't happening. You need to find a person and assign them the responsibility to stay tuned in, watch, and respond to customer service questions or even mentions of yours. Some of you may not get a lot of them, but some of you do get some. And when you're in that range where you maybe get a few mentions a week, excuse me, that's when you stop watching. Because you're not getting enough, you're getting a few, but you're not getting that many, so you stop watching and then your responses come 3 days later because maybe you only check once in a while. Stay tuned in. And then talk like humans. I can't tell you how many brands come to us and say, we want to be like Dollar Shave Club. Well, Dollar Shave Club has figured out what their voice is. They're daring. They will put the word piss in a hashtag on their Facebook page. And let me tell you what, President Obama can do it. So can you figure out a way to talk like your people? Even if it means setting appointments with your executives and asking them a million times, or give me a call, send me an email, and I will send you a ton of examples of how others do it. But if you want to change and improve your marketing, you've got to do something different. So, the five principles. Visuals. Check out the trends and put more thought into what visuals you put out there. Don't just throw anything out there. Make it about your people. Set up photo shoots at your organizations. Those are the most amazing ways to get good photography, and not photo shoots with the, like, you know, the take pictures. No, not the old school ones, but where real people do real things. Find ways to break through that noise. Look at the trends again. What are people asking? Then offer that intimacy. Show behind the scenes action. Be vulnerable. Dare to put something out there that nobody else dares do. Offer a sense of choice and control. Give your audiences the opportunity to contribute content for you and to create a movement for you. And you have to allow them to do it. If you have an ambassador program, please don't force feed them a hashtag. Allow them to choose a hashtag that they will use. Put them in control. And then be real. Figure out ways to talk like your audiences talk, like real people, like friends. Questions? Oh, I did have a question, two questions on Twitter that I want to touch upon. How do you find influencers? There's many ways to do that. The simplest way is to actually go to the other social networks and find them, and they're probably also influencers on Snapchat. On Instagram, just be careful. Don't look at just number of followers. Look at the ratio of likes per image to followers. And you want that to be 5% or higher to have a real influencer. Another question was, there are some new companies out there that will match you with influencers. I wrote some names down here. Great Story, Gary Vaynerchuk, started a company. He'll match brands with influencers. Then there's a platform called Niche and Del Mundo. Okay. Another question that came was, how do you measure results on Snapchat? Really tough one. There's a couple of tools out there that say they do it. Let's see. I tweeted one earlier. Just watch the conference stream. I tweeted the name of a company that says they do it. And that tool may work. We don't know. And then, can you buy filters on Snapchat as a brand? And how much they cost? Yes, you can. They started at $300,000 a filter. And during the Super Bowl, they were in the $1 million range.
Okay, hold on. Let's use the microphone. We've got a big room here, so we want to make sure everybody hears your question.
I was was just going to say that I actually recently activated a campaign with Snapchat using geo-targeted filters mm-hmm. to only, you know, very specific areas, and it was actually much more affordable.
Awesome.
So if you're able to condense it down to, you know, we want this filter to be active in this building or like these
in
specific
a narrow
blocks,
location.
Yeah, then it's actually pretty affordable to have your own filter.
Awesome.
So we found some great results from that. And then I also had a question about crowdsourcing images mm-hmm. and how brands are, or how you're seeing best practices for legally having the right to continue sharing those images. We've been trying to do that with a few brands that I work with, but have had some pushback from their legal teams about, you know, what's the legality of you know, how do we get the full rights to be able to share those images, and how do we do that without spooking people off with all, you know, all sorts of crazy legal language and opt-ins?
Well, so you always have to give credit to the person who shot the photo. And secondly, you have to, anytime you're going to reuse it again, you have to ask for permission again. Not have to, but that's best practices. So, for example, I had a picture of my cat sleeping next to a Roku remote. This happened years ago. And Roku, the brand, picked that up and reshared it on their Facebook. And then, now 3 years later, they came back to me and they asked permission to use it again.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, you have to go by what your legal team says, and they're all different in that. Yeah. But usually if you give credit and you ask for permission for usage, then you should be okay.
We've got about 10 minutes. Raise your hand if you have a question. We can't get to all of them, depending on how many questions.
Hi, is this working? Yeah. One thing I'd love to hear about for Snapchat takeovers is how brands that do that reduce the risk of somebody going off and posting something that would be really controversial or harmful, something that they did not authorize the takeover to post, if they're giving someone their account password to do this.
Yeah, so that's, well, the beauty of Snapchat is that you can't really, as an audience, you can't really shoot that video. You can't take the video. So if something happens, it's hard for somebody to record it. What we do is we monitor the accounts and delete content if it's not appropriate. And so you work on multiple devices at the same time. It's actually, if you do marketing on Snapchat, you want to use an iPad so you have a bigger surface. It's easier to doodle on a bigger surface. It's easier to do different things. So you need a team there that also monitors. It's not like you give them the account and then they're off on their own. Also, there's contracts that we write with the ambassadors, as we call them, whether they're influencers or otherwise. They're not going to get paid if they screw it up. So, but in general, it's not in anybody's interest to mess with the brand. So we've never had any issues. We run a massive ambassador team right now, and we've had, we can barely keep up with their conversations, and we've had no issues. Because they're passionate. If you pick people who are passionate about your brand, they're going to represent you well. And that's an important thing that we don't talk enough about when we talk about influencers, is how we select them and how we organize them and how we structure the program. It can't be just me meeting you today and saying, tomorrow, take my Snapchat account. There's got to be some structure there and proper filtering up front and some legalese.
Other questions? A little maze here, but we'll get there.
Yeah, so we've been working with ambassadors with some of my brands as mm-hmm. well, and we definitely have some clients that are heavier into the legal lingo and everything. But do you have any tips on how to make sure that your ambassadors are following FCC guidelines as to posting, making sure that it's clear that it's a client in the advertisement?
Yeah, so again, we have legal documents that we sign with them up front, but also we do training with them before they can go out and do whatever they do. And then we ask them that they identify themselves as ambassadors of the brand. We do a lot of ambassador programs where they're not compensated, actually. So the FCC complications are not as apparent as with when you actually pay somebody. But again, it has to be a thorough process up front of how you do this and train them and what you're expecting of them and so on. We work with a big brand that's very adamant about their brand name being in the hashtag that the ambassadors use, and the ambassadors just don't want to use this hashtag. They just don't want to use it. But they've been really great about respecting the wants of the brand as they agreed to be ambassadors. So I've never really seen any issues. It's all in how prepared you are. It's all on how you do the due diligence up front.
We have about 5 minutes. I'm going to stroll to the other side of the room, gambling that there's going to be a question over there, but I'm going to ask one along the way, Imano. And it has to do with B2B brands on mm-hmm. Snapchat. I haven't seen many. Mostly I've seen B2C brands. I've heard of good use cases for B2B, so maybe you can elaborate on some of those use cases and the business case, not just the use case, but how do you convince a B2B executive to experiment with Snapchat?
Oh, I'm not a fan of answering these sorts of questions because I don't have a good answer for a B2B brand that's got a good case study on Snapchat yet. I've seen some interviews. So again, like quick in and out, not like an extended presence. So that was cool. And I don't know that with any of my clients, I don't know that I would recommend that they be on Snapchat right now, our B2B clients, with some exceptions, mostly because their audiences are not there yet. And because it requires so much real time on the ground content that we may not be able to produce. So I would advise a B2B executive to be on Snapchat if they had people on the ground, if they had the ability to take videos and sustain it. So many things that they would have to figure out up front. I'm not saying no to it, but I don't know that most of them are ready for it yet. So I wouldn't spend a lot of time trying to make a case.
Thank you, and I agree with you. Yeah. Other questions? I came over to this side of the room for a reason. No?
Are there any more on Twitter? Nope.
Nope. Okay. Well, if we have no further questions, that'll give us an extra minute to get set up for the 4 o'clock. So, Mana, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts
thank
and your
you.
Wisdom on yeah. modern marketing with Snapchat.